Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano and Steve Paisley. Jordahl will be with us. Steve's not in the studio at this moment, but any second or minute, he will be in with us. He went to get an audio clip that we need to play during this half hour. Hey, you know these bombs that we dropped on Iran?
Yeah.
From these B-52s?
B-2s. The B-2s.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
B-52s. They were.
We still have. I think they may still have B-52s, but they were banned.
I think they separated drugs and alcohol and
the B-52. Kind of typical, it'll do it every
typical
time.
Typical rock band stuff. Anyway, the B-2s, I should say. They went over to from Missouri to Iran and dropped these bunker busting. Do you call them missiles? What do you call them?
No, they're bombs.
Okay, bombs. Down the air vent shaft over there. I'm saying this is how precise they are. I think these smart weapons can hit a target the size. I think Vice President Vance said something about the size of a cell phone or something. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That's just how remarkable these smart bombs are. That we use here.
Yeah, it's different from World War II, where there was skill involved, certainly with the scope, but these are
carpet
guided
bombing.
Yeah,
that was carpet bombing.
Yeah,
we did a lot of that back in those days.
Even in
hey, Steve Paisley, Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry, I'm late.
Why are you late?
Well, I was grabbing some sound, some things we could listen to here about.
While you catch your breath. You had mentioned in the previous segment, I did look it up. The distance between Israel and Iran is about 1,100 miles.
Right.
So that's, to your point, that they're not next door.
Right.
That's like
now on the global scene, that's close, but still it's not like they're neighboring countries that have a tradition of war against each other.
Right.
So, all right, Steve, go ahead.
All right. So I spent the weekend wondering what the world we could talk about today. Yeah. I was worried about it. One of the things that happened in the wake of the bombing of Iran by the U.S. were several Democrats, including Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, calling for Donald Trump's impeachment.
Yeah.
Saying that he was acting against the Constitution and that these kind of things needed approval to come from Congress. I had a brief conversation with my friend Jeff Crank, who is a Republican congressman from Colorado, about his thoughts on that whole thing. And I want you to have a listen to what he had to say. Cut 16.
Democrats always claim to support Israel, but then when it comes right down to it, do they? It's another week. And of course, that means it's another call for impeachment from Democrats of President Trump. These are the same Democrats, by the way, that didn't care when Bill Clinton launched cruise missiles without any authorization from Congress. Also, when Barack Obama was sending drones in to attack and kill people. Our founding fathers made it very vague, right? They gave the president the power of being commander in chief, but they also gave Congress the power to declare war. Congress said, you can act according to your wishes as commander in chief for 60 days. And the president did that. He's on day three now of that.
You know, it's interesting that that at least conceptually, as this congressman pointed out, Congressman Crank, you said, that the Constitution does give the president is commander in chief. He is in charge of the military forces. Congress has to give a declaration of war because they have the purse strings. They would fund a war. But at the time the Constitution was written, we did not have a standing army like we do now, Navy, Air Force. It's already been paid for. So back when the founders wrote the Constitution, the Congress would have to issue a declaration of war and then authorize the funding to raise an army. to go and fight. We already have a military that is paid for and trained. And so I think it makes sense, the kind of the compromise between Congress and the executive branch that we have. You limit what the president can do initially. You give him, you take the reins off. That military that's already paid for, you can use it since you're the commander in chief. But if you want to go long term, you've got to get Congress involved. It seems to me that the people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they are just, they just have that flu virus.
A TDS.
TDS.
Trump,
they hate everything he does.
Everything. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If,
is there an mRNA vaccine for that? Because, you know.
Well, you know what? It's interesting to me, though. See, I'm not hearing a whole lot of pushback or criticism of President Trump from the Democrats right now.
Several of them are in favor. We listened to John Fetterman this morning, who full-on applause of it. Most of them are just being silent, not saying a whole lot of anything. And then there are the far left, not too many, but a couple that are speaking
out. Well, like
out.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's going to be against anything President Trump does.
Jasmine Crockett, same.
Yeah, that the squad.
Yeah.
But I'm just not hearing a lot of criticism yet. I mean, some. I saw where, what's the MSNBC host, Scarborough?
Joe Scarborough
said, yeah, basically any president would have done the same thing.
Although they didn't.
Yeah, I don't know if they were faced with this moment. Yeah.
Well, it seems from everything we've heard is that Iran was so close to finalizing the development
and
of
Israel,
nuclear weapons.
Israel did all the dirty work.
Yeah.
To get everything prepped for what the U.S. did. And then Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israelis just said, hey, we can't finish them off. You can.
Yeah.
Can you help us? And can you help the world?
Yeah.
Basically, so be, and stay clear of a Iranian nuclear bomb.
Previous presidents could still. Now, the Biden administration did nothing to slow Iran down.
He didn't know what was going on at the time.
But previous presidents had tried to slow down Iran, to, you know, let's have negotiations and all that. But when you get right up to it, the moment when they were about to finalize it, Trump did. I agree with Scarborough. That's rare. But Joe Scarborough said any president would have probably done the same thing. You could not let that group of apocalyptic nutcases get nuclear weapons.
Right.
Because we had heard last week that they might be close enough to produce enough material for 9 atomic bombs.
Right.
Or missiles.
All right, Steve.
All right, interesting thing that happened around the Pentagon while this was going on. Maybe a little security leak that they might want to start putting to a close. Here's a social media site called the Pentagon Pizza Report. And they take a look at the activity of pizza parlors and restaurants around the Pentagon. And if it comes to, as in this case, a Friday night at 9 o'clock, and all of a sudden there's a sudden surge in pizza orders around the Pentagon, well, they have a feeling something might be up. And an hour before they launched this attack, they reported that Papa John's Pizza had a huge spike about 7 p.m., on Friday, had a huge spike in orders. And they also noted that there's a Freddy's Beach Bar, a restaurant and bar near the Pentagon, was running abnormally low activities. So nobody was going out. Everybody was ordering in. And they say that that's a tip-off. That might be a tip-off.
I thought that was kind of fascinating that there are people who watch this kind of thing. And that this is a real thing. People are paying attention. My understanding is that at that time on a Friday night, there's usually no wait if you order a pizza. But because of the extraordinarily high activity, there was a long wait, and their guess is that everyone is ordering in because it's going to be a long night. The only way to stop that is you just tell everyone who's coming in, bring your own lunch. Bring a couple of sandwiches because we don't want to – I'm just kidding.
The Pentagon is the largest office building in the entire world. They have
I did not know that.
They have to – well, at one point it was. I think it still is. They have to have at least 10 cafeterias, certainly snack machines, if nothing else.
I'm just curious, what were the number one pizza choice?
You know what? I don't know that they went on that. It was some. I think pizza around the Pentagon. There was a Papa John's pizza called Bomberon. Bomberon pizza.
Bomberon.
Doing a Beach Boys.
Yeah, there you go.
For just a minute.
Oh man. By the way, you sent something around, Tim. Over the weekend, I don't know if I could pull it up, but it was someone had created a meme that said talking about pronouns and that Iran's nuclear facilities are now going by the pronouns was and were. That was pretty yeah. Clever. Several friends on Facebook posted that and sent it around, and it was all over the place over the weekend.
That is pretty funny. All right. Hey, there's a story that might have been leading the news had we not had this happen.
What happened?
The bombing.
What bombing?
There was a bombing over the weekend in Iran.
Oh, yeah, that.
If not for that, this might have been the lead story. There was a church shooting in Michigan at the Cross Point Community Church in Wayne, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit. An erratic driver was came into the parking lot, parked his car, got out with a long gun and a pistol, and started walking toward the sanctuary, which, by the way, was full of kids celebrating the last day, I think, of their vacation Bible school.
Right.
And started firing bullets into the building. remarkably, a guy that was coming into church that night, he's driving his pickup truck, saw this, lightning speed thinking. I just got off the phone with Ryan Dobson, Dr. Dobson's son, but who is a church security expert in his spare time. the guy came in his pickup, pushed, gunned it, and rammed this guy down. And then a couple security people at the church came and shot him, killed him. He got into a gunfight with them, wounded a couple of them, non-life-threatening. Quick thinking, both outside the venue and inside, there was a woman on the stage who calmly told all the kids to get up and exit to the left, which was away from the danger. Ryan said if that had gone differently and he had gotten into the building, she would have been credited with saving untold amounts of lives.
Yeah.
Good, quick thinking. Ryan's advice to everybody is whenever you go into not only a church, but any public space, just take an inventory of where the exits are.
Yeah.
What was the motivation for the person who attacked them?
They don't know, or they haven't released it if they do know.
Well, I'm not trying to make everyone, nervous, and I have no idea what the motivation was in this case in the city of Wayne in Michigan, but there are concerns that in light of the attack over the weekend, the bombings in Iran, that there may be sleeper cells in this country that may be activated. I don't know. I don't know how many are here because of 4 years of President Biden. Probably nobody does. Or how successful they might be, or if anything would be. But that was the first thing I thought when I heard of this over the weekend. As I thought, well, is this a lone wolf that is taking revenge? Maybe we'll find out. It is increasingly typical that in these kinds of cases, local law enforcement will sometimes not release manifestos or information. I don't know if they're trying to prevent repercussions.
Do you believe group? You think that majority of churches now have security during their church hours, vacation Bible school, and that kind of thing?
If you don't, I'm not sure how wise it is. I'm not going to mention the name of the church, but the church that you and I go to, they have full-on security teams. We do here at AFA. we do regular training and we have all kinds of security measures. If you don't do that, I don't know.
But who would ever think vacation Bible school?
I know.
Who would ever think somebody would come in for vacation Bible school and try to kill people?
And kill children.
Yeah.
I don't even know if the person knew that VBS was going on, but good grief. There is a, whatever the percentage is of people in this country that have lost their minds, they're possessed by the devil, however you want to describe it. But you've got to take precautions if your state allows it. And if it doesn't, leave the state. Get out of those states.
Yeah, Wayne Police Department, according to Fox News, the Wayne Police Department has named the now-deceased shooter as Brian Anthony Browning, 31 years old, lived in Romulus, Michigan, a neighboring town. Police have not commented on a potential motive, but they said Browning's mother is a member at the church and that he had attended the church two or three times over the last year.
You know, sometimes these things, there have been times when shootings have happened, and it's a personal vendetta. But now this guy opened up from outside the church, shooting blindly into the church.
Right.
So this sometimes they'll show up at a service, and someone's doing something wrong with someone else's wife, and then that unfolds. There's all sorts of different scenarios.
But if somebody had not been at the church with a gun to do he was there for security purposes, right? This person, or did he just happen to be there and he's carrying?
No, the two people that engaged him were part of their security team.
Okay, so they had a security team for the vacation Bible school graduation or whatever it was.
Yeah, not VBS.
VBS.
This all started, I should look up the date. In Colorado Springs, there's a church. They're a large church. The name has just escaped me, but it had this, one of the first church shootings that I remember. I was in working at Focus at the time, which is a block away from this church. And the guy came into the parking lot, started shooting. He unfortunately killed two sisters who were leaving church, getting into their car. An off-duty police officer at the church engaged the guy when he got in the building and killed him. But the next Sunday, every church in Colorado Springs, and I think shortly thereafter, every church in the country had a plan, if not a security. We had armed police at our church, very visible the next Sunday and for the next month, and they still are. There's still an armed, my old church back in Colorado Springs, there's still an armed police officer in the lobby at all times, anytime the church is open.
Well, listen, that was, remember, Focus on the Family?
Yep. Yeah.
That was an attempt of an individual to go and kill everyone there.
Yeah.
They had a security guard. He did get shot, I think, but he end of the threat.
That was at Family Research Council.
Family Research, yeah, FRC.
FRC. There actually was a guy in Focus that came in and held the lobby hostage.
Yeah,
and
held the lobby hostage.
Well, the secretaries, the people who were the gate at the lobby, and of course, right off the lobby at Focus, there's like a bunch of departments that have offices there. But he came in, and this was years before I even got there. He got off one shot, and there's a bullet hole in the wall. They kept, and a plaque under the bullet hole saying, on this date, God saved us from this. So, yeah, it does happen. Hey, I want to – there's other stuff, political stuff we can get to, but I really am anxious to talk about this. We are, according to Elon Musk, we are about a year away or less from curing blindness. Yes, you heard me right. Cut 14.
In the next 6 to 12 months, we'll be doing our first implants for vision, where even if somebody's completely blind, we can write directly to the visual cortex. And we've had that working in monkeys. Actually, I think one of our monkeys now has had a visual implant for 3 years. And at first, it'll be fairly low resolution, but long term, you would have very high resolution and be able to see in multispectral wavelengths. So you could see in infrared, ultraviolet, radar, like a superpower situation.
Isn't that something?
I just know one thing. If you're in Elon Musk graduating class, you got no shot at valedictorian.
No kidding.
No shot at valedictorian.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're going to be number two.
I mean, this guy, he I don't know what history's going to write about him, but he's like some kind of like a Edison or, you know, Einstein kind of person, because he excels in almost everything he does. You know, whether it's launching space,
having
spacecraft.
Children.
Yeah, oh, you had to go there. Yeah, that's a different parallel. We may have to parallel him with some well-known athletes. But, I mean, just about everything. Tesla, I mean, he wants to put people on Mars.
The Boring Company?
The Boring Company.
Which is not lack of interest. It's tunnels that this guy drills under cities.
Yes, and can do it far quicker and far cheaper than anybody else. But this here, now, I do have some concerns with Elon Musk and some of his visions and goals. He doesn't appear to know God, or I don't even know what his beliefs are, but he's a big fan of what's called transhumanism. That's got nothing to do with transgender ideology. It has to do with the joining of human beings biologically with machinery or...
The Borg.
Yes, like the Borg on Star Trek, where the human body would be combined when you're missing an arm or you're missing... You know, a heart or whatever. That there can be
like
technical,
the lion,
huh?
Like the lion.
He's exactly on the Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a heart,
missing a heart.
Yes. So no, that was that was Courage. Yeah, and it was
no, it was the Tin Man.
It was Tin
Man.
He only had a heart.
Yeah, I just wanted to give people an analogy they could understand.
Yes. Thank you for that. So I have a hard time understanding, you know, the long-term ethical implications, but to try to give sight to the blind, it's extraordinary.
I was going to say the ethical problems would be a lot less if you were blind.
Yes, no. No, I'm talking about in terms of combining humans biologically with machines and computers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm not saying it in the right scientific way, but... That's extraordinary. I mean, 6 months to a year, he said.
6 months to a year. Hey, I got some breaking news.
Break it.
Yep. According to the Babylon Bee, President Obama is making a statement. He's distraught as Trump has bombed the cool nuke factory that he paid for.
Babylon Bee. Well, listen, President Obama will live in infamy for a number of reasons, but sending pallets of unmarked bills in the nighttime on a plane,
hoping to not be discovered, I guess.
Yes,
just what give cash?
Yeah,
what are you doing giving cash to Iran?
Yeah, and he claimed
like $1 billion. I don't know how much it was, like
$2 or $3 billion, I think.
Yeah, and it was which is more than twice what I have in the bank. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
more than twice.
Yeah.
And of course, President Obama tried to defend what he did by saying, "Well, this was only money that belonged to Iran when their assets were frozen after the Iranian Revolution in 1979," which is complete bunk, because there were outstanding demands that Iran pay money. It was it seemed completely unethical.
You
what
said
President
complete
Obama
bunk
did,
or complete bunker busters. It, which one did you say?
Complete bunk.
Oh, bunk.
But
okay.
It complete.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah.
Your contribution.
I was still talking.
This here show. I know you were, but we're about out of time. You hear the music?
I do.
Trying to help
it's,
you.
It was Frank Turek said it's shut up music.
All right. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. And on a serious note, please do pray for President Trump and his team today as they make critical decisions about the situation at hand that we've talked about for the last hour and a half. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Take care.